What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. And I am your gracious host. I am Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. How do you feel? I hope you guys are chilling. I'm chilling, you chilling. We're going to chop up some great game as we always do. So let everybody know that we're live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And what we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break while everybody's piling in the room. So don't move a muscle. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you ready to unlock the secret to flawless, radiant skin? Then look no further than Even Melanin. It's formulated especially for melanated skin. Say goodbye to hyperpigmentation, signs of aging, acne, eczema, and other sensitivity problems. Even Melanin is your ticket to a flawless complexion, helping you even your melanin to the beautiful brown that God intended. So for your ticket to a flawless complexion, to even your melanin to the brown that you're supposed to have, go to Even Melanin. Melanin.com. That's evenmelanin.com. Check out Black Power for Kids. It's the first of its kind memory matching card learning experience for us by us. It's a great collection. It has a bunch of our black heroes and icons and greats, and you can teach your children while empowering them at the same time. It's fun, educational, and empowering. So go to blackpowerforkids.com to order your own learning experience today. That's blackpowerforkids.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
And we're back, and I'm Tariq Nasheed, everybody. Glad to have y'all in here. Welcome back. We're ready to chop up great game like we always do, ladies and gentlemen. Ready to chop it up like we always do. How y'all doing? How y'all living? Glad to have everybody in here, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have the family in the room, ladies and gentlemen, on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful evening. Ready to chop up game like we always do. I hope you guys got your Root Work deodorant at rootworkstyle.com. Also, the movie Microphone Check. We're getting all the theaters lined up. We're trying to get everything lined up for May, the middle of May. And I'm going to keep everybody posted on that. We're just getting all the theaters confirmed. We're going to have an exclusive premiere at the Hidden History Museum, a big old private party before it hits the theaters. That's going to be in May. And also, we're going to do another event for the museum. I was going to do the Coon Train Awards, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to push the Coon Train Awards down a little bit later on this year, probably this summer. So give me some ideas. What kind of events should we have for April at the museum? Give me some ideas of what kind of event we should have for our monthly event. Keep me posted. Throw some ideas at me. And by the way, go to hiddenhistorymuseum.com to support the Hidden History Museum, ladies and gentlemen. Get the book, Hidden Heroes from A to Z. That is a phenomenal children's book, ladies and gentlemen, that you can get your kids started on their journey of learning and education and understanding who they are and the power of their history, ladies and gentlemen. But there's a lot of stuff we got to talk about tonight. First of all, I'm going to need you guys to hit that like button. That's first. Hit that like button. And then I'm going to need you to hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that subscribe button and then hit that bell notification so you will be notified when we are live, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a lot of people in the room already. Yes, well, yeah, we'll have more comedy shows. Yes, 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 we'll do another comedy show. I'm trying to see who we should get to perform. I want to bring in pop, throw some names. What kind of headliner should we bring in to perform at the Hidden History Museum? Get like a headliner comic. We have a lot of funny comics there already. But throw some ideas. Y'all throw some ideas. And we'll make it happen. But everybody's coming on in the room. We're piling in the room right now. And you know what? Let me get on camera. Let me do that. Let me hop on camera so that we can all be in the same room together. What's up? Here I am. There you go. Let me just hop on camera. You know, I'm hiding like I ain't fly or something. You know what I'm talking about? I'm up here hiding like I ain't keeping it real mackish and breezy up in here. Yeah, I'm talking about? I'm joking. All right, but we're here. We're here locked and loaded, ladies and gentlemen. How y'all doing? How y'all living? How are y'all living? But listen. We got to get into the whole TikTok thing. Listen, man. So TikTok, it's been some controversy going on. The powers that be voted to ban TikTok. They're going to put a blackout, and I'm using the word blackout in a literal sense for a reason. They're trying to put a ban on the TikTok app. And there's some people who are like kind of confused by that. Why are they trying to put a ban on TikTok? Why are they trying to censor TikTok? One of the reasons they're saying is that, well, TikTok, it's owned by China, a firm in China. And, you know, China is an op right now. China is an op. Somebody said Godfrey. That would be great. I would love to have Godfrey at the museum. Godfrey, holla at me, man. Let's do something, Godfrey. Godfrey would be funny at the museum. That would be great. Let me holler at Godfrey. I got to see if I still have Godfrey's number. But listen, let me talk about the TikTok thing. So they're saying one of the reasons for the ban is, you know, China is some oppy stuff going on right now. It's some oppy stuff going on right now. And China, this is what they're saying, China could use some of the users' information for spying and things like that. Okay? So that's what they're saying. I think it's deeper than that. Family, there's some stuff going on right now in the United States. First of all, we saw those Chinese spy balloons all over the place, and they were trying to downplay that. Remember? They were trying to downplay that. Then we see on the border a lot of Chinese nationalists sneaking across the United States border from Mexico. All right? Because, see, the thing is, the name of the game, these people, the white supremacists, always want to do stuff to kind of undermine us. So they'll open up the floodgates for all of these immigrant groups to come in, the illegals to come in. But some of the ops will take advantage of that. They're finding out these Chinese nationals are sneaking across the border. That's very significant. And then what do we see? Last week, we saw a shutdown of Facebook and Instagram. It got hit. They tried to act like there was some kind of glitch. Nah, they got hit. Yeah, that was some kind of cyber attack. And you better understand, I've talked to people who work at tech firms and all of that. They tell me there's Chinese cyber attacks happening damn near daily. I talked to some brothers and sisters who work at some of these tech firms, and they say, hey, man, we monitor some of these little cyber attacks. There's a constant barrage of these attacks. They got like whole teams of them over in China hacking and trying to penetrate the systems over here. This thing is real. And family, in New York, there's a reason why. Y'all saw what's going on in New York. They got armed troops walking around New York right now in subways, talking about they're there to combat crime. BS. That's a crock of BS. Hold on. Let me show New York. Where's New York? Right here. All right. This is in New York. These are the subways in New York right now. Hold on. They got armed military standing up there with their gats out. And that goes against the posse comitatus thing, right? Where you're not supposed to have military troops patrolling, you know, civilian land like that in the U.S. You're not really supposed to have them doing that. But they posted up, guns out. That ain't just to combat no damn crime, all right? That's not to combat crime. There's some type of threat looming right now, all right? There's some kind of threat looming, so they done heard something. They saw those cyber attacks, so do they have it in Chicago too? Okay. Somebody said they're policing the tethers. Right, but which tethers? Are there, is it the Chinese ones? You know? So yeah, they're not doing all of this for a couple of little Latino or some African immigrants. No, this is something more nefarious. Yeah, they're not doing this for a couple of crackheads on the subway. They can get some of those little janky, goofy guardian angel dudes to do that. But yeah, I didn't know they had this in Chicago too. I didn't know they did that. But there's something looming. Something's going on, ladies and gentlemen. There's some kind of threat that's going on there. There's some kind of threat happening. Okay? And let's look at the TikTok thing. What's the real deal? We got to expose the real deal about what's happening with TikTok and why they have a ban on TikTok. I don't think it's just a security breach, a possibility of a security. I don't think it's just that. Here's the thing. TikTok, over here in the U.S., very popular with Black people. A lot of the influencers are Black. And TikTok is enticing more Black users to come on through and join the app. They're offering money. You got users bragging about how much money can be made with TikTok. Yeah? And TikTok, it's owned by a foreign entity. That's an op. That's an enemy to the U.S. government. So TikTok, with all of these Black influencers, the U.S. government understands that TikTok can weaponize that. You see, a lot of the other social media, like Facebook, you know, Zuckerberg and those guys, you know, they rep team white supremacy because they ban and silence Black folks all the time. On Facebook, Black folks, we can't post anything empowering on Facebook. That's why I don't really rock with Facebook like that. You can't get too empowering as a Black person on Facebook. They let the white supremacists run roughshod on Facebook. And Twitter, you got to look at Twitter. Look who's running Twitter. What team is Elon on? You know, so that's nice and safe. You know, Twitter is team white supremacy. Every time Black folks say something or call out white supremacy, we get hit with community notes. You see? Yeah, but Soulja Boy was just bragging about him making, what, $17,000 in one day on TikTok. Yeah? Listen. Yeah, you get put in Facebook jail all the time. But yeah, with TikTok, you know, they allow some black talk pop on. Huh? And the U.S. government understands China can use that to their advantage. You know, they understand that if they want to do something to undermine the U.S. government, they can allow certain discourse and signal boost it. So if there's black people being radical, they can boost that up. You know, they know how to put more eyes on certain TikTok and Twitter views. They know how to push it out there. They got little algorithms that'll get that stuff out there and really make it spread. Yeah? Think about this. On TikTok, if they want to get some radical black folks going, they can start making videos on, hey, guess what? You want to know how to make bombs? You understand? They can have TikTok videos on how to make bombs. Feel me, dude? They can use TikTok to coordinate certain covert operations and, you know, they can do a lot of interesting things with information on TikTok if they want to undermine society or weaponize some of the black influences. Yeah? It's real heavy. So I think that's one of the big problems. They can use that to recruit. They can get some people on TikTok and say, hey, we're such and such militia group, and we're having a meeting down in Dallas on Thursday, whoop-de-whoop, and then there's a cache of guns waiting on them. You see? That's some of these Chinese nationals that's slipping across the border. They can go out here and get access to weapons and meet somebody at one of these shipping ports because there's ships coming in and out of the U.S. from China literally every single day, all day by the hundreds, all over the country. So they can get somebody to coordinate one of these Chinese shipments to come on in, and then some guns mysteriously land in the hands of some militia group. Come on, man. I'm just showing you how warfare is. You understand? The dominant society, they see this thing 10 steps ahead. And all eyes are always on us. When we are centered around something, all eyes have to be on it because it could go left. They want us shucking and jiving. See, what they want, they see that Twitter and TikTok and platforms like that are usually used for jokes and poking fun and girls twerking and popping that ass. But they understand somebody might not be down to pop no ass. They might be up there trying to get some real information and get some propaganda out there and send some messages and try to coordinate something nationwide. So they're the powers that be. They're trying to get in front of that. You see? Because, you know, they'll let people gangbang on Twitter and gangbang on TikTok and beef with each other, but sometimes they never know when it's going to go another way. Just like with gangs. And let me use Chicago, for example. In Chicago, you had different gangs and, you know, they don't mind the gangs gangbanging on each other. They don't mind them banging on each other, but sooner or later, every now and then, one of these gangs, they start smartening up a little bit. All of a sudden, they change their name and start getting some kind of religious ideologies. Then they start getting a little more organized. And then all of a sudden, it goes from just simple gangbanging, and then all of a sudden, these gangs start connecting with foreign entities. That's what happened with the a gang out of Chicago. It was initially the Black Stones, the Black Pea Stones. As we know, the Black Pea Stone Bloods, they were out here in L.A. Well, they are out here in L.A. Shout out to my good brother T. Rogers, rest in peace, for my brother T. Rogers, who helped spread that out here, and he was from Chicago. But the Black Pea Stones, that was a gang out of Chicago with Jeff Ford. They morphed into an organization called the El Rukins. And allegedly, they got clicked in with some foreign entities. I want to say Libya. And there was talk about them getting some weapons. All right. The word was Gaddafi was going to give them some missiles and some weapons and stuff. Then all of a sudden, law enforcement started to stop them. Now, when cats out there gangbanging left and right on each other, that's whatever. But when Jeff Fortin, those guys allegedly were about to get access to some foreign weapons, boy, they swooped down heavy on them and locked them down. They don't even let Jeff Fort get visits no more in jail. They don't want that kind of influence. They saw that influence. They were like, ah, oh, no. Yeah, that's why they got Larry Hoover and them dudes and Jeff Fort. They got them on super duper lockdown. Yeah. So you got to understand, they understand that the gang banging can switch at any moment. The goofing off can switch at any moment. Some of that gang banging, cats will put that bullshit to the side and start getting on code at any moment. You see? Just like with the Bloods and Crips out here in LA. You know, there was a lot of beefing. And when the Rodney King thing went down, for a quick minute, Bloods and Crips put all of that down, joined forces, and turned all the way the hell up. You see? They put that stuff to the side temporarily and said, hey, we need to click the hell up. You see? So they understand we can flip at any moment. So they got to keep eyes on us. So I think that TikTok ban has a lot to do with the influence of black people on TikTok. There's a lot of black influence on there, and it's run by a foreign entity. And that foreign entity could use propaganda. It could use things to further radicalize some black militia groups out here or black militant minds. So I think that's the real reason. You got to understand, in the system of white supremacy, everything ultimately leads back to us. Everything. I want you to look at almost every institution. It'll lead back to us. Everything that these people do, you keep pulling back the layers, it'll go back to us. The way they zone the schools, it goes back to us. The way freeways are put up in the communities, it goes back to us. Can we run the freeways through the black business districts? I mean, are they going to spray pesticides in the city? Where are the black neighborhoods? Let's test that out first. Yeah. The lead and gas, you know, that was targeting us first. And we had to get them to stop putting lead and gas because they were driving these freeways over these black neighborhoods and people were getting lead poisoning because of the damn gas. And then eventually it started hitting the white people. Then they had to stop. You see, everything rolls back to us. The reason they're flooding the zone with all of these immigrant groups comes to us because they don't want our numbers to rise up. They don't want our numbers to get significant because we, as Foundation of Black Americans family, we turn up and we're a very small portion of the overall U.S. society, and we still turn up and we still have the most influence. You dig? Right, and somebody made a good point in the room. Because of TikTok, and also the influence can go both ways, because we as Foundation of Black Americans, we have so much global influence, especially with our culture of hip hop. Using things like TikTok that goes around the world and it's not as censored for us, we could use our culture to galvanize global support for some of our movements. You see, and that's, you know, they don't want us to be a global people. You know, when we start venturing out and start trying to link up with folks globally, that becomes a problem. So the thing is, with TikTok, there's a blackout on it, literally, because I think they don't want us to influence the world, and they don't want us to be influenced by foreign entities. So we have to look at it from that standpoint. Because right now, the white supremacists, their numbers are plummeting, and it's very important for them to hold on to power. So this is why they're getting very desperate. There was a special needs kid who got offed out here. Horrible story. And the white supremacist is actually celebrating that. Little 15-year-old special needs kid, he was having a little breakdown, and he ran out the house with some kind of garden tool, and the race soldier gunned him down. And I asked the question. I said, black people, for the life of me, black people, if you have special needs children, if you have family members with disabilities or mental illnesses or whatever, what in the world are you calling the police for? And I understand, I guess you want to do something. Family, people, what black folks, you really should know better. You really should know better than to call the police on a black person, especially a black child. I don't know what, if you think that the dominant society is going to be sympathetic to a black child who's not as functional, like they're going to take pity. They don't take pity on that. I want black folks to really understand this. They don't take, nobody in the dominant society, they're not going to take pity on us because you're a child, or even if the child is handicapped or what, they don't take pity. In fact, that emboldens them. They look at that as, hell, ooh, an easy target for me. Oh, somebody I can harm and who can't fight back. You don't understand how cowardly these people are. I don't think black people understand that. You understand? Family, the FBI told you that law enforcement has been completely infiltrated by white supremacist groups, family. What part of that don't y'all understand? I want black folks to really let that soak in their brain. You can't ignore that. They told you that law enforcement is infiltrated by white supremacist gangs and family. So when you call the police, there's a 50-50 chance a race soldier is going to come out. You understand? And a race soldier, they get notches under their belt for taking out black folks. Don't let nobody fool you or tell you any different. The proof is in the pudding. That's why we see black folks getting off by these people all the time. You see, yeah, they see children as an easy target. Family, I want y'all to understand we're dealing with demonic spirits here. Let's look at it from a spiritual standpoint. You, black people, especially foundational black Americans, you have a God spirit of Mojara. That is the name of your God spirit. You have a connection to the Most High, a direct connection. That's why we've been able to survive. We've been put here for a mission for society. We've been chosen for a mission. That's why we've been protected and we've been able to survive some of the grossest atrocities in human history. We have a God spirit. And the opposite of that God spirit is a demonic spirit, the white supremacists. They have a demonic spirit. By nature, the white supremacists are very demonic. And the little evil stuff that they do, they wallow and revel in evil. You understand? I don't think black folks want to get that in their head. You think just because somebody is nice to you, they still don't have that demonic spirit. Somebody said, don't get too deep, you're going to lose them. Yeah, that's right. You can't get too deep with black folks because you scare them. When you start telling them the truth about Zaddy, oh, no, I work with Kathy, and Kathy's so fun and fine, man. Y'all don't understand, people. These people sit up here and celebrate the harming of your children. That's a demonic spirit, family. That is a demonic spirit. And they come from a culture of violence, family. That's just what it is. These white supremacists come from a culture of violence. That's what they wallowed in violence in Europe. Hell, even some of the Anglo-Saxons. Saxons, look at the etymology of those names. Anglo, that was the name of the area, which became England. And Saxon was a damn knife. That was a weapon. A Saxon comes from Saxy. I think the name of the weapon was a Saxy, something like that. It was a weapon used to kill people. So their name comes from weaponry and murder. Y'all got to understand the history of these demonic people. That's why I don't play games with them. I'm one of the few people that's very bold openly, one of the few well-known people that's as bold as I am, because we got to do a God's mission. God's mission is to stand up to evil. You can't say that you are against evil and you won't check the big evil people, the white supremacists, because you're scared. Oh, no, that scared stuff is for the birds. God put us through so much, there is actually nothing to be scared of. We've already went through the ringer with these people. They've already thrown everything they can throw at us, and we've survived it. Nothing is scary about them to me. I don't know about you, but the spirit of Majara guides me. Harriet Tubman wasn't scared. You see, because I tap into the ancestors. I talk to the ancestors, ladies and gentlemen. That's where I get my strength from and my fearlessness from. I tap into that Majara spirit of our ancestors. Harriet wasn't scared of these cowards. She knew they were cowards. That's why that sister was able to go up and down the United States, freeing people. You understand? John Horse wasn't afraid. Our Black Seminole brother, who was one of the greatest military minds in recorded history, that brother went up against the U.S. government and survived. That man killed thousands of white supremacists and lived to old age. You mean, that's why they don't talk about him. He didn't take no L. Go look at my movie, American Maroon. John Horse never took an L. That man whooped ass all around the United States and in Mexico too. Never took an L. They put him in prison down in Florida. He broke out the damn prison. It's one of the most thorough riders ever. Was fearless. A fearless brother. You got to tap into that ancestral energy, ladies and gentlemen. You got to tap into the energy of the Black Maroons, who were fearless. The Black Maroons set up shop in the Great Dismal Swamp and offed any white supremacists who tried to pull up, fearless, and gave these people the business. This is John Horse right here, for those who don't know. Get this book, Hidden Heroes from A to Z. This is who you need to teach your children about. Teach your babies about this brother here, Mr. John Horse, one of my heroes. Get this at HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. But you got to stop being afraid of the cowardly white supremacists, because, see, the thing is, man, look, we got to understand, in the system of white supremacy, you have to give privileges and benefits in order for everybody to be on the team. See, they'll try to shame us into believing that white supremacy doesn't exist. Oh, why are you talking about white supremacy? It don't exist. Yes, it does. And the main ones trying to deny it are the main ones practicing it. Just like the old saying, the devil's biggest trick was to get you to believe that he didn't exist. Same thing with the white supremacists. They're always trying to get you to believe that it don't exist, and they done created an entire system of white supremacy. You see? An entire system of it that gives monetary value to people classified as white. That's what makes them uphold the system. You understand? There's a monetary value to the white supremacists. There's a monetary value that they have. Their whiteness has a monetary value. They're in family, I say the value of each white supremacist in the system of white supremacy, they have a $1 billion policy to protect them. The policy is up to $1 billion. They have $1 billion worth of whiteness. For example, Kyle Rittenhouse, I always use him as an example. Yeah, he's poor white trash, but when he did a deed for the system of white supremacy, he's ready to do a sacrifice for white supremacy. Look how they protected him. All of the white supremacist entities got together to protect him. A black person, you couldn't pay $1 billion to get what Kyle Rittenhouse received. Kyle Rittenhouse got $1 billion worth of protection. Literally, a black person, you would have to pay over $1 billion to get what Kyle got. This man had a whole judge acting as his lawyer. He had a whole police force backing him up, protecting him. You had a media apparatus, the entire billion-dollar media structure protecting him, not putting his past out there. They weren't running a cycle on the little girl he beat up. He beat up a girl at school, and they weren't doing all this background stuff on him like they do to black folks. Black people, we get harmed, and the white media is showing you a whole bunch of stuff negative about black victims. They didn't do that with Kyle. He got billions of dollars worth of protection from the white media, the police force, other white celebrities. Remember, they were throwing money at him. Yeah, they got $1 billion policy. It's $1 billion. They will spend up to $1 billion to protect each individual white supremacist. After $1 billion, they'll sacrifice them. After $1 billion, they say enough is enough. See, that's the thing. I just want y'all to get that part of the game. After the bill gets more than $1 billion, then they'll sacrifice them. You see? When that bill gets to $1 billion, then the white supremacists start getting some act right. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen, for example, out here in LA, during the LA riots, they let them race soldiers off and acquitted them. The city of Los Angeles turned the hell up, gave the city of LA $1 billion bill. The LA riots cost $1 billion. That cost the city of LA $1 billion. After that, they had to get some act right. That's why the OJ trial, that's why OJ was acquitted, because they were going to try to railroad OJ, and the spirit of the LA riot was still here, because they were going to try to use OJ as revenge and pin that bogus murder on him that he didn't do. So they were going to pin it on OJ, and the spirit of the LA riot was still in the air. The people said, hey, you can play that Simi Valley BS if you want to. We still got some Molotov cocktails left over. So they got some act right and had to do the right thing, and the OJ trial, OJ wasn't allowed to be set up. You see, because they saw that $1 billion bill and Cass had another $1 billion worth of energy to put up on him. And another example, that it's $1 billion. I'm telling you, for example, when Derek Chauvin offed George Floyd, they wanted to play dumb. All right. They wanted to play dumb and lollygag around. And then the streets turned up. Billions of dollars of damage started happening all around the country. Then they had to sacrifice Chauvin. When that billion-dollar bill came through, they had to, sorry, Chauvin. It's just too much to protect you. When the billion-dollar bill came through, they said, okay, all right. We'll arrest him, we'll charge him, we'll put him in jail. All right, you got us. Yeah? I'm telling you, $1 billion, when $1 billion worth of damage pop off, then they got to get some act right. But this is the monetary value they put on the white supremacists. Oh, yeah, they didn't want to get Chauvin, but either Chauvin, is he worth billions of dollars? He's worth $1 billion. Come on, they understand warfare. In warfare, you got to sacrifice. Because now it's becoming too dangerous. Because with Chauvin, remember, there's other white people getting killed out here in the streets now. White people getting ran down, businesses being burned. So now, is it worth it? They had to throw him under the bus. Sorry, Chauvin, man. Hey, buddy, sorry. The Negroes are turning up too hard and the bill is getting too high. It's getting to $2 billion. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. It's just business. It's $1 billion. Yeah? And that's and the white supremacists understand that. They understand that they get $1 billion worth of protection under the system. That's what makes them maintain the system, because they project this stuff onto us. And then they get their minions to do it too. They project a lot of stuff onto us, like criminality, and I always say the white supremacists are the biggest criminals. Not only that, they have an immunity from law, and they were pointing out that there's some black people who are in jail and they are classified as white falsely. And the white supremacists are like, they're trying to criminalize us by labeling some black people white. No, no, no. The opposite is happening. Because white supremacists have immunity from law and they target black people so much, on paper, they have to make it look like it's kind of balanced. So they'll have black people in jail, then, and a handful of them will be classified as white. So on paper, it'll look like some white people are getting locked up too. So it won't look like racial targeting. When in fact, the white supremacists have immunity from law. And the thing is, white supremacist criminalization is so bad, they've infiltrated law enforcement. The white supremacist criminal gangs, they have criminalized law enforcement as we know it, which is supposed to protect us. That's how criminal they are. You understand? There are no black criminals that have infiltrated law enforcement. Law enforcement all around the country is infiltrated by white supremacist criminal gangs. Out here in LA, how many damn criminals? Ain't there about 32 white supremacist gangs in law enforcement in LA alone? This is what the whistleblowers are saying. Other cops are saying this. This has been verified by other whistleblower cops. So you have the white supremacists, they join law enforcement and then criminalize that. There's a reason why cities have to pay the cost of these criminalized white supremacists and law enforcement. All of these lawsuits that cities have to pay out because of the criminals in law enforcement who are white supremacists. And their criminality is so bad, they have to have qualified immunity, federal law, to try to stop all the damn lawsuits because of these criminal white supremacists within law enforcement. Don't let these people run the criminal game on you. They're the biggest criminals out there. They just busted a white couple in the suburbs for running a smash and grab ring where all y'all saw those smash and grabs at the malls and all of that. Part of that is a white couple who had folks working for them going out here smashing and grabbing, getting makeup products, and then they're selling it on the black market, right? So it's an amazing thing. So we got to understand the game out here and some of the wannabe white supremacists who try to toe the line for these people. There's an anti-black racist, Ian Miles Chong. He lives in Malaysia, and he's one of these Dinesh D'Souza types who's a foot soldier for white supremacy, who sits online promoting a bunch of anti-black propaganda. And he posted a video of Suki Hanna and Sexy Red, them doing a music video where they're twerking and being ratchet. And he put up a caption, "Look at this culture. How do we fix this culture?" And everybody got on his bumper. Because number one, to the Ian Miles and the other people out there, what Sexy Red and Suki Hanna, they were doing a music video where they're doing performative, over-the-top, deliberate ratchetness for that video. Y'all come from a culture where y'all do all that type of stuff every day, all day. You dig? Kid Gravity, we're not giving Krispy Kunes no shine. It's Krispy Kunes trying to get shine. I don't care. There's somebody trying to capitalize off my name. You see the numbers in here? We got almost 6,000 people in here. And you know, I don't want to know about Krispy Kunes. We're trying to leech off my name. That's what leeches do. But like I was talking about Ian Miles Chong in Malaysia, man, his culture in Malaysia, boy, them women be on the track all over the place, all day, every day. You want to talk about ratchetness with the women. over there in Malaysia, they got a whole black market for selling babies over there. You don't want to play that game. You want to talk about a culture. You don't really want to play the culture game. Over in Malaysia, I like Malaysia. Look, I've been over to Malaysia. I'm cool. Malaysia, you know, I enjoyed it. But, you know, you got some ratchet stuff going on over there. In Malaysia, boy, they got something that the women do over there. If you want to talk about a culture, they got something over there that the women do called Nasi Kangkang. That's very popular over in Malaysia. There's a practice called Nasi Kangkang. Do y'all know what that is? That's where the women, in order to kind of, I guess, put a spell on a man or keep a man or whatever, some kind of traditional thing they do, the women will squat over some rice, a bowl of rice, and let their, how can I say this on Twitter, let their vaginal juices seep down on the rice and feed it to the dudes. I'm trying not to get a hit here. That's very popular over there. Called Nasi Kangkang. Let me show y'all so that I'm not exaggerating. This is Nasi Kangkang. There's a lot of videos on it. Just kind of look it up. It's a thing over there, guys. And some of the fluids are menstrual fluids, by the way. Yeah, guys, this is, yeah, I gotta be kind of vague. But yeah, there's a lot of image references to the Nasi Kangkang that they do over their family. So y'all just kind of look it up yourselves. Yeah, the point is, these is a whole bunch of videos on it. These folks are not at liberty. I don't want to hear nobody talk about our culture and this is what y'all do. Okay. All right. So there it is. There it is. So yeah, don't let these people, don't let none of these people say anything about our culture. Our culture is fine compared to theirs. That's in Malaysia. That's a common practice over there in Ian Miles Cheong's culture. All right. And yeah, I'll take some ratchet twerking all day over that. I'll take some booty popping over Nasi Kangkang any damn day. All right. I'll take that. All right. Yeah, don't let these people try to demonize our culture. No. Even our most ratchet ain't as degenerate as some of them. You know, even our most ratchet ain't even that damn degenerate. You know, but I digress, ladies and gentlemen. We're in here heavy. Like I said, y'all need to go get the book, Hidden Heroes from A to Z. Learn some history, ladies and gentlemen. Hidden Heroes from A to Z, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, other stuff going on out here in the media, out here in the news. Speaking of our culture, history is very important. Because speaking of TikTok, I saw a video, somebody was breaking down some real stats about the slave trade. And that's very important because us discussing history, us talking about who we are historically, that's always, there's a censoring of that, especially on TikTok. When we start talking about the facts of our history, we start seeing folks put community notes on our stuff. You see? And TikTok, they kind of let you get your history off a little bit. And there are people talking about, we were calculating the real narrative of the slave trade. When you start looking at how they describe the slave trade, something ain't adding up. The math ain't mathing. Because the narrative is there were 12 million people brought over to the Americas from the slave trade in a 200-year time frame. All right? Here's the thing. When you calculate that mathematically, something ain't adding up. Because the average voyage was 2 to 3 months. They didn't have that many people on those ships. you know, they would have 50 to 60, maybe 100 at the most. Hell, let's even go, the highest number would be what? I would say 500, which is improbable to deal with 500 people on a damn, in the bottom of a ship. For 2 months? Yeah? That's not even practical, because most of the people would die off, which is what happened. When you try to pack a ship with them many people, they'll die off. So those ships packed with 500 people, that was rare. But even if you said every ship had 500 people, which wasn't true, and these trips takes 2 to 3 months to go back and forth, you know, the math ain't mathing on that. The math isn't mathing on that. You dig? The numbers don't add up. It would take, for 12 million people to get here, it would take a couple of thousand years for that to happen when you look at it logistically. You see? Logistically, it would take a couple of thousand years for that to happen based on the distance of the ships and how long it takes. So what would make more sense is that there were black people all over here, which is what we've been saying. There were black people all over here, and there were the ones mixed in with the ones who came on the ship. That's the thing that makes more sense. Well, yeah, and I'm giving 500 people. I'm being very liberal, because it wasn't that much. You know, you can't have a whole bunch of trips with 500 people packed on top. And I'm just saying, hell, even given a liberal number like that, it still wouldn't make sense. You know? Okay, look. B, whoever you, I know you're trying to promote yourself. No. B, hella gay, I know it's you in here. Don't promote yourself. Don't sit here trying to promote yourself. No. Don't promote yourself in here. We're not doing that. No, we're not going to have little Sambos with their little YouTube channels in here trying to promote themselves. Okay, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to do that, dude. We're not going to do that, hella gay, and I know that's you in here. We're not going to do that. We're not going to get little janky, moist YouTubers trying to come in here and promote themselves. But yeah, the numbers ain't adding up when you look at it logistically. You dig? Those numbers are not adding up at all. And what we've been saying, there's already been a whole bunch of black people here. Yes, of course, they know we're indigenous to everywhere, and they try to say we weren't here. And then you go to all corners of the earth and you see black people. But you think we weren't here? Oh, yeah, the hella gay. That was hella gay himself. That was hella gay because, you know, he watches what is the low-fat, mustard green eating ass. He that's him. We know it's you. Come on, stop it. We know it's your little old jocking ass. But family, it's real out here. We got to understand history and make things make sense, and we have to dictate what the history is and stop letting people dictate the history for us, ladies and gentlemen. We have to dictate what it is and stop playing games and stop letting people play games and stop letting people think, okay, we got to go back home to Africa. And I love Africa, shout out to Africa, but that whole thing of going home, and this is our homeland. Because again, people, we keep hearing horror stories with black folks going over there to Africa, talking about home and all of, man, the horror stories are coming out every single day, unfortunately. And you had, shout out to JT the Bigger Figure. He was over there, and a lot of people were talking about his presence over there. He's back in the States now, and even he's talking about some of the trials and tribulations over there. Let me play. Where's that clip of JT? Hold on. JT, shout out to JT, Bay Area legend. He's talking about some of the issues he had over there in Africa. Hold on.
Black Americans, pan-African movement or something. Because I got all these dudes talking about they pan-African, these ladies. They talking about they pan-African and JT are wrong. And I'm like, hold on. I don't even know you niggas. I never been no fucking pan-African nigga. Who the fuck is that?
Okay.
Oh, yes, you.
Hold on.
Almost got the same fucking fresh milk and cows and goats and
hold on.
And family and what country they in. Oh, you just putting Africa as a whole in a big old bag. And hey, 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 nigga, I went to Kenya, Burkina Faso, Uganda, Nigeria, Morocco, and Cote d'Ivoire. Nick can't tell me about my experience. But this is letting me know. I must have had a lot of...
Hold on.
You pan-African niggas make me want to say, fuck, okay. Must want to run to America.
Okay, you know? He's kind of ranting, but okay. But basically, he was talking about how... they were kind of finessing him over there with some land. I was trying to find that part where he was talking about they were finessing him with some land. But yeah, it was some finessing going on over there. So he came on back. I was trying to find that part, and I don't want to play all the cursing because I don't want to get a hit on here. But basically, there was some kind of finessing going on with the land. He was over there, and there were some lawyers he was dealing with, and they ended up trying to finesse him. So he came on back. Yeah. So, yeah, we keep hearing horror stories. And that go home to Africa, dude, this is our home here. This is our home here. Yeah? Yeah, I think you can go to that YouTube channel and kind of listen to it. I don't want to, because there's a lot of cursing in there, and I'm trying to find the part. Yeah. But he had some issues over there where some people were trying to finesse him, which is what we keep hearing. So family, we're foundational Black Americans, family. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We are foundational Black Americans. That's what it is. This is our homeland. This is our land. We are not guests here. This is our spot. And family, I want y'all to understand, because we've been claiming our foundational Black American lineage. Family, I want y'all to see a lot of other folks in the dominant society, they're trying to low-key jump on the bandwagon. They're trying to use words like foundational. You understand? Some of them are trying to claim some Black ancestry now. I saw this video clip of this Mexican woman. Man, I saw this clip here where a Mexican woman was up here trying to claim some how Mexicans built America, something like this. Shout out to my brother, Black Alpha Network. Shout out to Black Alpha. Look at this. And y'all follow Black Alpha Network, by the way, on Twitter. So that's a rider. But hold on, what is this woman talking about here? Hold on, listen to this. Listen to this, family. Hold on.
Where he talks about these people polluting the blood, I talked about what I'm not gonna do.
The audio is a little janky, but bear with it.
What I won't do, I'm not gonna treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing.
What Biden is saying is 100% true. And thanks, by the way, for correcting yourself. It is very racist to refer to brown indigenous people as illegal or anybody.
Well, if you come over illegally, what's wrong with calling it what it is? An illegal immigrant.
It is true that the United States relied on Mexican brown indigenous people throughout history to build up its economy.
Mexican brown indigenous people? Well, the brown indigenous was us, the Black indigenous people, to build the economy. What you talking about, Mexican? What Mexican built the economy here? Hold on.
Good America data will show you exactly how much money or about the brown people generated for the United States after they were called in to work into the United States for jobs like mining and. And those were life-threatening jobs, by the way, and fatal jobs. Railroad work, as well as farm work, etc. After Mexican brown indigenous people came to the United States and started laying the foundation here,
What? laying the foundation. Listen to what she just said. After we Mexicans came to the United States and laid the foundation, that's a contradiction. You can't come to a country and lay a foundation to it. Because we laid the, there was no country until we built it. So how are you going to immigrate somewhere and then lay a foundation to a country you had to immigrate to?
Mark, et cetera. After Mexican brown indigenous people came to the United States and started laying the foundation here, the economy multiplied.
We are not poisoning the blood of America. We are the blood of America.
Today, even, Latinos are the fifth world largest economy. You don't need to be a mathematician to understand that, quote unquote, Latinos, brown people, have contributed a ton to the U.S. economy. Not only did brown people contribute the most to the U.S. economy.
The most?
Because we are so large in numbers. Not only that, but we are so large because we are the original native people of this land. So
a Mexican didn't exist before 500 years ago.
You should have a lot of respect for the brown people.
Lord. Man. Well, she, that sounded like John Leguizamo, didn't it? What the hell? Okay, if you contributed so much to this society, well, then how come Latin America ain't popping? How come Latin America ain't popping if you contributed so much and y'all run that down there? This is our homeland here. We've been here for thousands of years. See, we didn't come from anywhere else. We've been here for thousands of years. Because y'all people try to throw Africa at us. We ain't been in Africa in centuries. So yeah, showing stuff in Africa now has zero to do with us. They like, well, look at Africa. Look at it. What that got to do with me or any other foundation of Black American? We ain't been nowhere near Africa for centuries. Nothing over there going on right now has anything to do with us. Ma'am, y'all came directly from the slums and poverty of the border. You can't say how much of an economy you built and you're fleeing from your own homeland. When, look, when foundational Black Americans are left alone, when they get the hell away, when we are left alone and people ain't sabotaging us, we build Black Wall Streets. We build thriving economies when everybody's out of our damn mix. The minute we're pushed aside and left alone, we start creating all types of phenomenal things. When we were in Wilmington, when Black folks got freed and we just, white folks said, hey, get y'all Black asses over there somewhere. We don't want to see you. They're like, okay, fine. We went over there and start building up prosperous communities. They said, uh-oh, we're going to have to burn Wilmington down. We go down to Georgia. We build up a nice, thriving little community of Oscarville. The white supremacists said, oh, no, we're going to have to flood that with water. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was somewhere where they threw Black people. That was like a little no man's land. That was a place to kind of throw Black people, especially the Black Seminoles and the Black Maroons. They wanted to get us out of the way. They just go on over there to Oklahoma. Ain't nothing out there. Just go on out there. And we don't want to see you. Then they turn around and like, hey, why are these niggas with all these horse and carriages? Why are these Negroes living in mansions? Uh-oh. We got to bomb this down in Rosewood. Those Black people had them nice homes out there in Rosewood. Up, we got to burn this down. When we're left alone, we start building stuff prosperously. We get on code and our ingenuity kicks in and we start getting stuff done in a fly way. Don't let nobody get it twisted. The only time we are in the ghetto or whatever is when the white supremacists are in our damn mix, sabotaging things and putting us in the damn ghetto. We got in ghettos because of them. We had prosperous communities, and then they start building freeways on our business districts and then saying, hey, I know you're going to be displaced. We have something called a housing project we can put you in temporarily until you get back on your feet, and then we get stuck. Yeah, they hit us with the urban renewal. We get beachfront land like Bruce's Beach. Oops, eminent domain. Don't tell me a goddamn thing about what we can and can't build. When we're on our own, we have luxury shit. We have phenomenal things that they have to come in and sabotage. Man, we had Manhattan Beach out here at first. We turned that into a fly-ass resort, and they came in and did an eminent domain and took it. That's how we get down when we're on our own as foundational Black Americans. Even with hip-hop in the Bronx, they threw Black people in the Bronx to let Black people wither at the vine. Y'all go in the Bronx. I know it's rubble over there and abandoned buildings and fires and no money. So y'all just go on over there and just mind your business. So our foundational Black American brethren got in the Bronx and sat there and created a whole new culture of hip hop that spread around the world and is one of the most prosperous industries in the world right now. That spirit of Mojarra is not a damn joke, and that's why we always have to be subjugated. We have a spirit that is going to make us prosperous when we get these demonic white supremacists off our backs. Yeah? We better know our history. Man, yeah, going back, our sister Biddy Mason, one of my idols, this is a Black woman who was enslaved. A Black woman who was enslaved came out to California, went to court, got her freedom. They were like, all right, we'll leave her by herself. That woman became a damn millionaire, became the wealthiest woman in the whole state. That's how we get down. There was another sister in the Bay who was a very wealthy Black woman up there in San Francisco. I'm having a brain fart. Y'all help me out. What's that? It was a Black woman in San Francisco who was a millionaire too, another Black woman. God, I can't think of that sister's name. Very wealthy Black woman up in San Francisco. We're coming out of slavery doing this shit. We're coming out of slavery. Biddy Mason couldn't even read and became a damn millionaire. Dude, we are phenomenal. Don't tell me about who built what. We built this joint. Other folks want to come in and latch on, and you ain't got nothing to show that you built on your own. Don't come here talking about, yeah, we laid the foundation and built all this. You didn't build it over there. We can show you what we built on our own. Ghettos are created by the white supremacists. On our own, we can show you. We can show you the Madam C.J. Walkers, the Annie Malones, the A.G. Gastons out there in Birmingham, who was really fueling a lot of stuff in the civil rights movement. Yeah? That's what it is. We got a phenomenal spirit, ladies and gentlemen. We have a phenomenal spirit. And because we are acknowledging and taking ownership of our culture, and we have a reparations movement going on. Mary Ellen Pleasant, that's her name. Thank you so much. Mary Ellen Pleasant, thank you. That was that sister's name. Look her up. I need to do something about her in the museum, by the way. Yeah, she slips. I don't know why she's, that was a very powerful sister. I got to do something about her. But listen, now that we have a reparations movement going on, we already knew now some money might be coming through because we're sticking to our guns. We're standing on business as far as that. We're standing on some business. Yeah, Robert Reed Church, that was another rider. Robert Reed Church, another rider. But listen, yeah, we won't throw in the towel. Real talk. We don't throw in the towel. We keep on going. We don't get tired. These people are wondering where the hell we get all this strength from to just keep fighting them nonstop. We ain't never stopped fighting them. We've been fighting them for the last 400 years. We ain't never stopped. And that's the thing that astounds people. Damn, these niggas don't get tired. Nope. Huh? But again, now that we're talking reparations and The possibility is there. People see we ain't moving, and if we focus on something, we'll get it done now. When we focus on something, we'll get it done. So now you got people in the dominant society, all of a sudden, they want to dig up some information about their nana. Now, there's some things we got to watch now, because we're talking about getting that paper. We got to watch out for the possibility of some $5 FBAs out here. Now, look at this woman right here. And we about to start seeing a lot of this. Hold on. We about to start seeing a lot of this, guys. Hold on. Listen to this.
My grandmother took a secret to her grave, and we just found out what it was. She passed back in 2002, and at the time, we thought she was born in 1933. We knew her name. We knew that she was an orphan, and she was an only child, that we had no other family connections to her whatsoever, and that her family line lived and died with her. So find me confused when our family gets results back from a 23andMe test telling us that we are African-American when my grandmother said that we were English.
Can y'all hear that pretty good, guys? Uh-oh. Hold on. Oh.
Family gets results back from a 23andMe test telling us that we are African-American when my grandmother said that we were English.
Oh.
And I know, looking at me, you're going to be very confused, because I am too. And currently my family is still figuring out all the details, so I don't have all the information. 23andMe matched my family up with a family in Virginia, which isn't too strange because my grandmother and my grandfather both met in Maryland and got married and ended up moving across the country. So when this family starts pulling out pictures of my grandmother and her 15 siblings, safe to say you're a little shocked. It turns out that Millicent Vaughn was born Mammy Vaughn back in 1927, not 33. She was born to a family of 15 children, all African-American living in Virginia. While her parents did die when she was young, she was not an orphan and an only child like she said she was. She had people taking care of her, and she had a whole family. It turns out that she had decided to run away from her family and completely exorcise herself from her identity. She picked up a new name, she picked up a new race, and she completely erased who she was. So now I have a whole new family, and it's surreal and it's strange, and there's this part of me that doesn't really know who I am. And I think what surprises me the most is the fact that her story is not uncommon for the US at that time. Because she was white passing, she chose to completely reinvent herself and go by a completely different name and racial identity just to create a better life for herself. And while I'm incredibly grateful for the privilege that her decision provided for me, I'm also incredibly sad and confused and excited because I have a whole new family that I didn't know that I had.
Oh my God.
We're still uncovering details and we're still learning so much, but sharing her story, I'm hopeful will bring other people to.
Oh God, I'm a Negro. Oh God, Lord, here they go. Here they go. They're trying to claim that black name. Look, they know who's in their family, all that. We didn't know. They all know. Y'all hide it. These folks know. You know about your black meemaw from back in the day. Y'all go out of your way to hide it and cover up the black granny. I took a 23andMe. And stop it. You knew. You know who's black down the line. Y'all been hiding it. Now that there's a movement going on and we might get some paper about this thing. Well, you know what? When I come to think of it, I did smell some hot sauce when I was a baby. Oh, Lord, here they go. Oh, don't start claiming that black grandma now. I'm African American. No. Because, see, that's the part of the reparations thing. You have to be a person who've claimed black all your adult life. We're not going to do no retroactive blackness where you dig up some black granny somewhere and then you want to claim it now. No. Nope, these people are trying to be slick. Lord, people are trying to be slick out here in the game. But we're in here heavy, man. Shout out to everybody in here. We almost got 6,000 people in the room. While I'm talking, y'all go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com and give your weekly and monthly contribution to the Hidden History Museum, ladies and gentlemen. Give your weekly, monthly contribution to the Hidden History Museum. You know, I saw something funny. You know, last week I was talking about Drea Michelle from the Basketball Wives. She got pregnant by the 22-year-old ball player. How it's a win for her and somewhat of an L for him. He should have known better. And you had Gilbert Arenas and Nick Young kind of talking about, you know, Gilbert's, he had some relations with her. Now, this is bad. You see, this is why the young cats out here, you got to be careful. You don't want dudes out here sharing war stories about your broad, man. You dig? That's just a bad look when these dudes, hold on, let me play this clip. And there's some women who got upset with this. Some women got a little upset with it. But no, don't get upset. This is what it is. Hold on. So this is Gilbert and Nick talking about old boy getting old girl knocked up. Hold on.
Pregnant. Got the young boy.
Damn. They only knew. But, like, I was shocked too, though. Like that day when I was riding home with Philly in the car, yeah. I don't know if I can tell that story. If you want me to tell that story.
No, she's a mother now.
She's a mother now, yeah. You can't do that, because that day changed my life. I ain't gonna lie. That day changed my life. That's when Swaggy P was like, okay, man, this is what NBA is about.
NBA, listen, I'll let you know this is.
Yeah. I'm riding in a car, he in the back seat. I turned my head against it. Huh?
Nah.
What was you doing in that back seat, Gil? Huh? What was you doing in that back seat? You went to the show.
Pregnant.
Oh, boy. See, that young dudes out here, see, that's what you don't want. You know, dudes out here got the war stories about your broad, man. Yeah. That's why she had to go young. That's why she had to get a dude fresh in the league. I'm not mad at her. I mean, she was strategic about it. I ain't mad at her. And there's some women like, oh, these niggas is gossiping. I mean, no. I mean, because women, y'all do that. And dudes, hey, guys are sharing somebody's resume. Old girl got a resume. And dudes put each other up on the resume, as you should. Dudes, that's part of the guy code. No, see, the thing is, a lot of women, y'all think, let's get into some game here. So you want to slut it up and then think guys are going to be hush-hush about the slut game. No, your slut resume is out there. Somebody said, what did he even say? No, y'all got to read between, they're trying to not say it, but it sounds like Nick was in the front seat and old boy was in the back seat getting domed down by old girl. That's what they're saying. And... But damn, women, oh, they gossiping. Nah, it's like sharing a resume. You're supposed to let other guys know what the deal is. Somebody, look, a lot of women don't want their slut business out there in the streets. Yeah? You're sharing a resume. You understand? If you out there giving jobs, all jobs come with a resume. Blow jobs, that comes with a resume. And you got a floating throat, that throat is floating. You got the float throat, your throat has floated in the industry. People are gonna talk about it. That's just the nature of the game. Don't try to shame dudes. Y'all be gossiping. No, y'all just don't want people giving your throat resume out here. You know? Guys are letting dudes know what's up. Like when guys in the league, you're talking about big money. So guys are kind of looking out for each other. So when dudes come through with somebody on their arm and the guy's like, oh, damn, you with that? Bruh, I might need to holler at you. Women, y'all do that. Women, y'all do it. Y'all warn each other. Women, when you out and about and you got a homegirl who come in with a dude that you done knocked down, Y'all be telling them. Y'all tell, ladies. Y'all be telling. I had some women do that to me. There was some women I knew years ago. A couple of women I knew. There's one lady I was smashing. And I was smashing this other chick. Then I found out they were friends. And I ran into both of them one time. I'm like, hey, how y'all doing? Hey, how y'all doing? And I'm like, shit, y'all motherfuckers know each other? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. So I was real cool. It was like some casual stuff with both of them. I didn't know they were friends. And I smashed both of them. I didn't know they were friends. And we saw each other, all three of us, out and about one day. And I'm cordial. Hey, good to see y'all, man. Hey, I didn't know you knew her. Oh, that's crazy. Ooh, the eyes are bucking. Like, oh, Lord Jesus. And I'm trying to be cool. I'm not letting on to anything. And about that same night, about 45 minutes later, one of them came up to me. You smashed my home girl? Oh, huh? Who? I had to. Huh? It's loud in this club. I can't hear. Huh? So I had to do the. It's too loud to understand what you're saying. So they immediately pulled my resume out. Immediately, the conversation immediately went there. Nigga, immediately. They didn't even leave the club. Oh, the conversation went right there. Yeah? Then I lost my access to both of them. They're like, oh. Yeah, then I tried to, hey, big head, let me call you back. Oh, it's like that? All right. So yeah, they they pulled my resume. Then I got fired. I lost access. They revoked my access keys. All right. So that's what same thing happened. So guys, when we see a dude with somebody who done, like, bruh, you with throat baby? That's who you with, brother? You got to kind of pull guys to the side and let them know if that's the homie. If that's your boy, you got to let them know. You got to say something. Hey, man, yeah. You know. Now, sometimes it depends. Because it depends on who you know the most and who you have more of a camaraderie with. So if I'm on a basketball team and one of my teammates who I'm supposed to be on the same vibe with, I see him coming with somebody that some of the other homies done smashed, you gotta pull his coat a little bit. You gotta, hey, brother, man, you know, you got Wonder Mouth over there that, you know, she knows a lot of cats on the team. But there might be certain situations where you might be cool with a woman. Or you might have more of a camaraderie with her and you don't want to put her business out there like that. I remember one time I went to dinner at over in Sherman Oaks, some restaurant, and I saw a dude and a girl I knew. The guy, I kind of casually knew him. I didn't really know him like that, just kind of a casual thing. The girl, even her, it was kind of casual, but I knew her longer. And I knew her resume. I knew a lot of the cats she done smashed. She kind of had a slut resume. Her HoFax came back with a lot of activity on it. Her HoFax her HoFax resume was really, really active. Yeah. And she knew I knew. So I saw both of them. I'm like, hey, what's up, Tariq? Hey, what's up? Okay. And she's looking at me like, nigga. Hey, what's up, Tariq? Like, nigga, don't you say nothing to this nigga. She's looking at me like that. Like, okay. I'm not going to even put you out there like that. It looked like she's, you know, she might have looked at the dude as a lick or whatever. But she gave me a look like, nigga. I didn't know you knew this dude, but don't say nothing about my HoFax. not a Carfax, the Hofax was real active. Huh? Don't tell this nigga about my resume. I'm like, good to see both of y'all, man. I'm not going to put it out there. I wasn't hoe hating. Nope, I wasn't hoe hating. I didn't say nothing. Yeah? I didn't say nothing. So it really depends a lot of times on who you're cool with. And I was cool with her. I didn't have a problem with her. So I was cooler with her, so I wasn't going to put her out there like that. And I didn't know the dude like that. So, you know, if she's trying to hit a lick, you know, I'll let you eat. Now, that was my homie. I'm like, you know, if that was the homie, I'm going to have the brother, like, hey, brother, I got some paperwork I need to show you, brother. I just, we just pulled your girl's whole facts, brother. You know, if that's the homie, I got to let him know something. We're going to have to pull the whole facts. Yeah, if that's the homie, you got to warn the homie. You know, I don't want the homie to find out the hard way. Yeah? But that's what it is, man. That is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the streets are hungry. Yeah, man, look, there's women out here trying to hit some licks. I ain't mad at them. They're out here trying to hit licks. I am not mad at them. Okay? So shout out to them. And shout out to Drea. Drea's hitting the lick, about to have a new baby. By this dude. It's an L for the dude. It's an L for him, but, you know, I don't know neither one of them. And if you let Drea come up off you, shout out to Drea. I'm not even mad at Drea. Speaking of kids, I saw there's a video. There's a kid. I don't know why. I do not know why they gave this kid a little baby perm. It's a little boy. I don't know why they gave this little boy a baby perm. Did y'all look at this video here? This little boy said he wanted a little perm, and they gave the little boy a damn perm. Hold on, look at this. Why would they do this? Hold on, family. Look at that. I don't know why they gave this boy a perm. They said this little boy wanted a perm, and they gave him a little baby perm. Hold on, look at this. Hold on.
You think it looked like the picture?
Look at this. Why would they give this little boy a... it's not even a perm. It's a little press and curl. Hold on.
What? Is it a game?
What?
I'm not asking. You like it?
To make me pick.
What? Why did they give this little boy a baby perm? Got him looking like a little mini James Brown. Why would they do that? Y'all don't have to do everything that these kids want now. And it's not even a perm, it's a little press and curl. They could have burned his ears with that curling iron. They clearly used some kind of curling iron on his damn head. They didn't slick down his edges or nothing. Lord. Somebody said the little boy looked like one of the Berenstain Bears. Hold on. They said it looked, hold on, it looked like the Berenstain Bear. They said his little perm looked like one of the Berenstain Bears. Now, come on. Why did they do that little boy hair like that, man? Lord Jesus. Come on. They didn't have to give that little boy a press and curl. Lord. You don't have to give kids everything they want. They could have put some pink oil moisturizer on his little edges or something. Damn. Like a little baby Al Sharpton. It looks like DJ from Hustle and Flow. Tell me this fell out your pocket, skinny black. Tell me it fell out your pocket, skinny black. Don't put no little press and curl on that little boy head. Well, speaking of children, did y'all see that picture? Somebody's child drew a picture of me. Shout out to the brother. They sent me a picture. They said their little girl named Zoe, drew a picture of me. She's like, Daddy, this is the guy you always listen to. And then she drew a picture of me. And people up here talking, ooh, that's cute. Now, y'all, look. Shout out to the kids. I love the kids with their creativity and all of that. Shout out to the kids and their creativity. And shout out to the little girl who drew a picture of me. You know, I think I'm a little flattered, but I don't know. This little girl had me looking kind of funny. I don't know how to feel about this. You know, because some, I don't know, low key, I think this kid might be trying to, might have been trying to diss my ass. Oh, y'all didn't see it? I put it on my, so look, sometimes, you know, some people like, oh, that was cute. But look, this right here, family, sometimes kids be playing too damn much. I don't look like no damn pineapple. That baby got me looking like a pineapple, dude. So I don't know if I'm too flattered by that. Yeah, I could be flattered. I don't know. This kid might be playing in my face. I don't know. That looked like the kid might be trying to be a little slick. That I don't look like no damn pineapple head. So I don't know. That kid might be trying to sneak this. I do not have no damn pineapple head like that. So shout out to little Zoe. But Uncle Tariq don't have no pineapple head, beloved. And you got to respect your elders if you trying to throw shots at Uncle Tariq, sweetie. But shout out to little Zoe. Yeah, the baby did me real dirty. Man, for real, people like, that's cute. You cute, man, cute these nuts. Come on now, y'all trying, what y'all trying to say? I'm trying to say, my head this big. But shout out to little Zoe. All right. You know, I might make that my profile picture on my Twitter. I don't know. She gave me a skinny fade. I don't know. Man. But shout out to little Zoe. Shout out to Zoe. But anyway, man, let me get up out of here, man. Go to rootworkstyle.com. Rootworkstyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. Rootwork Style, get your Rootwork deodorant. The most thorough deodorant in the country right now. Rootwork. The greatest deodorant in the country right now. Rootwork at rootworkstyle.com, or you can get it at amazon.com. Ladies and gentlemen, and go to Hidden History Museum. Contribute to the Hidden History Museum and get the book Hidden Heroes from A to Z, ladies and gentlemen. All right? I'm up out of here. Papi Akute, lalavuve to the family. Y'all be good.